Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Joe McCormick. And hey, folks, remember last, I think it was December of 2018, when we were joined by Katie Golden of Creature Feature, our another podcast in our network? Well, she's back today. Say hi, Katie.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
How you doing?
Pretty great. I'm so excited to be back.
Yeah. We're excited to have you on the show again. So Creature Feature is back for a second season. That's correct, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I'm really excited about this season because we've got now I got somehow managed to convince some experts to come on my show and talk about stuff. So that's great. I've got a herpetologist who I have a series of interviews with. I've found a comedian who's also a bioengineer. And it's just got I was worried. I was thinking, well, how am I hope I don't run out of content for this season. And as I'm researching, I'm realizing there's no possible way to ever, like, all of the examples I've been finding for this season, all of the really interesting evolutionary biology stories are even more incredible than last season. So I'm super excited. I think this is shaping up to be really interesting and fun.
So season two is more incredible than season one. Which season is grosser?
Oh, you know, that's a good question. Well, I don't know. I think season two is, it's not gross to me. It's certainly stranger, though. It's weirder. It gets a lot weirder. There are definitely some gross things. We talk about weapons that animals have that are kind of like poop based.
Oh yeah.
Stinky poop bombs. There's plenty of grossness to be had, and vomit bombs. That's a good one. Animals who explode after eating too much. There's lots of those actually. I try to keep things. I try to describe things in a way that won't make you lose your lunch, but you know, it is still, it's nature doesn't really care about being polite, if you know what I mean.
So you're trying not to make people vomit. I think that's where you're screwing up.
Oh, Yeah, that's true. I mean, if we've learned anything from evolutionary biology, throwing up on your enemies is a really good evolutionary strategy. So if you do throw up in response to my podcast, I'm actually helping you along. Uh-huh.
Well, yeah, I think in general, like, humans have a weird attitude towards vomit. Like, if you have a cat or I guess a dog too, dogs vomit, right?
Oh yeah. You didn't know if dogs vomit.
I don't know. I don't have a dog. But my cat certainly vomits, and when she vomits, like, it is a natural, shameless act for her, mm-hmm. and that's how it is for everything except humans, who have all these strange ideas about it and get all worked up over the process.
Robert, I forget that you don't know anything about dogs. So wait, here, let's do a quiz. True or false, Robert? Dogs defensively squirt blood out of their eyes.
I know that's not true. That's more of a
that is true,
particular lizard
for horned toads, though.
That's, yeah. Yeah, that's the one, yeah.
So
yeah.
Wait, what's your favorite defensive vomiting?
There's a few species of birds who will vomit a sort of orange sticky substance onto a predator, and it actually can be really dangerous for the predator because it can weigh down their wings. Say it's another avian predator, it'll get their wings all oily and make it difficult to fly, and it can actually cause their downfall. So it's kind of amazing that you can flip the script so much where you have this cute, innocent little baby bird that vomits all over its would-be predator. And then that predator is now in mortal danger because it's covered in vom.
So you mentioned animals that kind of explode as well. Do you get into termites?
Yeah, termites, when they get old enough, they kind of concoct this explosive wine in their mm-hmm. bodies. It's not really wine. It's funny because the explosive juices get better with age. Once they get old, their mandibles just aren't as good at chopping down plant fibers, and they're kind of useless to a certain extent, except that they can use their bodies as a defensive weapon against invaders or predators, and so they will violently contract their abdomens and they'll explode. So it's like this sack of blue liquid that can suicidally explode onto enemies. And they blew themselves with this blue goo.
Well, how about the defensive pooping? You mentioned that too, right?
Yeah, pygmy sperm whales are a good example. It's not really poop. It's like this butt syrup. It's this specialized fluid that's this kind of brown, dark, smelly, I would imagine very smelly fluid that they use kind of like squid ink, where it clouds the water, makes it unpalatable for predators, and then also just like gives them sort of a poopy smokescreen.
Wow. I don't think I'd heard of this one. This is a new one on me.
Yeah, and then also some songbirds will, say a raven is trying to eat their young, the songbirds will poop on the ravens, dive bomb them, and it's similar to the defensive vomiting where it will coat the raven's feathers and make it difficult to fly, and it can actually cause them to die because if they can't fly or escape or... You know, it's a very dangerous situation for the predator.
I've never thought about that with birds before, but it totally makes sense. Like when you see some of the tragic casualties of oil spills, you know, with that affecting yeah. birds, you know, that it soaks into their feathers and makes them unable to fly. But yeah, when you are a flying organism, there are some real downsides to taking on additional weight or anything that would screw up the aerodynamic properties of your feathers.
Yeah, or alters the chemical composition of the outside of the feathers and makes them permeable to water. And they're very specialized in terms of how they protect the bird's body and allow them to fly. So they're quite easy to mess with in a way. So it's very dangerous for these ravens to tangle with the with these dive bomber birds.
But Katie, did you have any other like topics from season two that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool episodes. One of the most recent is on tool use. I think a lot of people think of tools as a primarily primate and human thing, but as we'll discover, a lot of other animals have really creative and bizarre ways they use tools. There's one on superhero powers. That's a really fun one. David and Goliath, where we talk about the underdog and how they often went out in the natural world and how they managed to do that. And you can check all this out on our website, creaturefeaturepod.com.
Excellent. Go do that if you haven't. Stuff to Blow Your Mind, listeners. Why haven't you checked out Creature Feature yet if you haven't? Go, go, go now.
All right. Well, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back, we're going to talk with Katie about teeth. We're going to spend most of the rest of this episode talking about some peculiar and maybe at times intimidating chompers in the animal world.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, we're back. So, Katie, we asked you to talk with us about teeth today. Maybe to have, like, I realized after I said it that we should do like an award show for nature's weirdest or most jacked up teeth. But I think that idea came without me realizing it from your Worst at Sex Awards episode on Creature Feature, which I listened to and I thought was very funny. But yeah, so I thought maybe, yeah, we do a little teeth awards show. Know this was on my mind because Robert and I just recently did an episode of our other podcast, Invention, about chewing gum. And I haven't been able to stop thinking about chewing ever since then, which is one of those things that, you know, like when you're chewing food, if you don't think about it, it tastes really good and it feels really good. Mm-hmm. But if you do think about it while you're doing it, it becomes disgusting.
Well,
yeah, and with like candy and chewing gum. Or any candy where you suck on it or chew on it, you're swallowing flavored saliva, and that's what you're eating when you think about it. And ever since I realized that, it's made eating candy or chewing gum a lot more difficult.
Swallow, yeah. It's like a spit treats, yeah. You know, one of the interesting things about the human mouth, though, is that I think we don't often recognize how much human teeth are reflective of our evolutionary niche as omnivores, you know, mm-hmm. that we have like these sort of like cutting front teeth, and we have these sort of like slightly reduced canines that you might see in other predators, but then we've also got the grinding molars for plant matter. We have teeth that show the fact that we eat all kinds of different foods. But there are some animals that you look at their teeth and you just realize they have a much more specialized way of life.
Yeah. I mean, one of my favorite kinds of animal teeth are beaver teeth. Is it okay if I talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Let's
go for it.
I think they're, when you think of teeth, that's kind of the primary animal they have that comes up in your head. They have those big buck teeth and they chew down trees. What's cool is there's so much more to it than just on the surface. Like, it's not just that they have these big buck teeth. They're really incredibly special teeth. So first of all, they will grow continuously. So they never stop growing. And that's because when they chew down wood, which as we know, beavers are very industrious. They will terraform their environment. They're really important in terms of ecological niche building. And like they also feed on these hard plant fibers and the inside of the cambium in the tree. It's not true that they don't eat the bark. They eat the soft tissue under the tree bark. And that's full of nutrients. So they need really special, strong teeth to be able to chow down on these trees and do all of this work. So if their teeth didn't constantly grow, they'd just get worn down. And as soon as the teeth wore all the way down, they would be unable to function anymore. They're also, if you ever seen a beaver, I don't know, have you guys seen a beaver?
Oh, yeah, yes.
Yeah, I think
but
so.
I know what you're about to get to, because every time I see a beaver in real life, I have to remind myself, oh, yes, there's this one key coloration difference that is generally not presented in cartoons and stuffed animals.
It's got like Toxic Avenger mouth, doesn't it?
Yes. So its teeth look really janky. If you see one, you may think, oh, God, there's something wrong with this beaver, because its teeth are bright orange.
Yes.
Yeah. And nope, they're perfectly healthy. The oranger, the better. It's orange because the front enamel of their teeth is actually reinforced with iron that they get naturally in their diets. So everyone's enamel is made out of like these tiny nano wire rods that are stacked together, and that's what makes it really hard, and that's what protects your teeth. In beavers, each of these rods are coated in iron, forming these iron nanowires that are especially hard. So that's why they can chew through a tree, whereas if one of us tried to chew through a tree, it wouldn't be good news.
Right, it would not go well.
Wait a minute. So orange iron teeth, I would imagine, if I'm not wrong, that it's orange because the iron gets oxidized. So the beaver would literally have rusty teeth, right?
Mm. I mean, that checks out to me. I'm not a chemist, but I mean, I feel like if you want to call beavers like rusty teeth boys, that wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah, but I don't think I've ever seen a cartoon beaver or a stuffed animal beaver actually have orange teeth. I mean, hopefully there's some more, you know, biologically accurate representations out there. But for the most part, I'm always just shocked when I see a beaver in real life, and then I have to remind myself that, oh yeah, this is what they look like.
It's interesting because there was this TV show on Nickelodeon when I was growing up called Angry Beavers.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And they actually, in a weird way, they had some of the more accurate representation of beavers, because I remember this episode about how if they didn't chew their teeth down, they'd keep growing and growing until they would grow into like their brains or something.
Mm-hmm.
And that part isn't really true, but the part where their teeth continuously grow is very true. And so that was interesting. I love cartoons like that, because I think that kind of encourages young people's fascination with animals.
Oh, yeah. I think there's some better and better cartoons out there these days. My son watches some of them where they'll manage to balance, you know, anthropomorphic animals that talk to each other with actual realities from the natural world, be it something like Octonauts or... there's the one with the puffins. Puffin Rock does a pretty good job.
Speaking of cartoons, the whole beaver teeth growing continuously just reminds me of the Simpsons Lisa Needs Braces episode.
Yes.
Where they show the age progression her teeth get more and more janky.
Well, I think that's a British joke there, isn't it? They show her the big book of British teeth.
Or the one ends up growing through the top of her head in the projection, right?
Okay. It's just like it shows her teeth just getting bigger and bigger until one grows through her skull. Yeah.
You're right. That's two different jokes. Yeah. The joke. Yeah. Yeah. That's why she needs braces so it doesn't stab her brain.
Dental plan.
All right. Let's keep going on beavers. So what else you got, Katie?
Yeah. So the iron in their teeth that makes them that beautiful shade of orange, not only predictably, it helps them carve through hard plants and woods, but it's also resistant to damage from acid. So beavers pretty much never get cavities. They're like a dentist's dream teeth, and which is very important because a beaver without his teeth is like, you know, I don't know. It's just impossible. You can't beaver without your teeth.
Right.
And of course, I guess it's true for a lot of animals, though. I mean, you look at the vital role that teeth have in their ability to feed themselves. I mean, really, for humans, I mean, if not for our cooking technology, we'd be in largely the same boat.
Yeah, I mean, I remember there was this survival story of this guy who was stuck, I think, in that a desert somewhere in Australia, like somewhere in the outback, where he had gotten lost or something, and he found some kind of abandoned shack, and he had to stay there because he was miles and miles from civilization, and he had to conserve his energy. So he survived by eating like those witchetty grubs, and then he started to get a tooth abscess, and so he realized he had to rip his own tooth out in order to survive, because if the infection spread to other teeth or if he couldn't use his mouth, he would die. Mm-hmm. So he pulled out his own tooth, like did dentistry on himself in order to survive. And because he was talking about it, so he ended up surviving.
Well, it's the original 127 Hours before the, I don't remember the original guy's name, but the James Franco movie, right?
Right. Yeah. Although I feel like pulling out your own tooth is somehow even worse than cutting off your own leg, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, you're reaching like into your skull and
you're breaking your jaw. Ugh, it's awful. So back to beavers. it's really interesting because so the front part of the tooth is that orange color with the reinforced iron, and then the back part is actually a softer made of dentin, which is a little, it's still hard, but it's softer and it will wear away more quickly than the iron in the front. So when they chew, they actually form these natural wedges with their teeth, and that makes them even better tools. Hmm. In fact, beaver jaws were used as tools by early humans, which is a kind of a little bit of a cheating way to have an iron age. You just use a beaver jaw. Because they were so, their teeth are just such great, specialized tools.
So it's kind of like a single bevel knife, right? The kind of knife that, unlike most, is just worn down on one edge.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's really utilizing some mechanical advantage, and the way it's just cool to me that one side is softer, so it'll create a blade, basically, with these teeth, like little tiny axes.
This whole conversation about how you never see the orange teeth in cartoons has made me think you could do a whole episode, or we could, somebody could, on like animals that are never depicted in cartoons in anatomically correct ways, because to depict them anatomically correctly is disturbing in one way or another.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a great idea. I might steal it.
Yeah, okay. Go for it.
I was also going to do, probably this week, I'm going to do a little bit of myth busting about lions. I advised the Bechdel cast on that, and I probably will mention some things on my show because of the blatant misinformation coming from the new Lion King movie that must be corrected.
Oh, does it present like a phallocentric Lion King?
Yeah, I don't know if the new one, I haven't actually seen the new quote-unquote live action. It's not live action, it's CGI. but I haven't seen it. I have seen the old version, which is very inaccurate in terms of how it presents lion society. but you know, speaking of animals that don't do well when their teeth, when stuff happens to their teeth, like a lion with teeth problems can definitely die.
Well, I believe I've read that, like, in cases where you have man-eaters with large felines, like, that sometimes occurs due to damage to their teeth. Like, they're losing their dental effectiveness, and that's when they turn to eating humans if they're available.
Yeah, that's, I think that was the case with the lions of Tsavo.
I believe the ones that were
eating the people who were... it was this group of like two or three lions who were stalking these people back in the 1800s? The late 1800s, maybe?
I believe so.
Were they building a railroad?
Yeah, they were building
a railroad, I think. And they kept eating these poor workers and they would stalk them. They would follow their camps and wait for one of them to let their guard down and eat them. And that's because... humans were soft serve, basically.
Yeah.
So these lions that were weaker and had these dental problems were eating people because we were just easier to eat.
Yeah, tired of chewing through a bunch of hide? Humans.
Yeah.
So the easy solution.
Right. We're like little cherry tomatoes. Real easy on the teeth.
All right, well, let's move on to our next animal. Katie, I believe you're gonna talk about one of our favorites, the corpse whale.
the unicorn of the sea, the narwhal. And isn't it, I think it's actually true that, like, the concept of the unicorn may be related to people who discovered narwhal horns.
Yes, we talked about this. We actually did a two-part episode on unicorns, I think sometime last year, or was it even the year before? I don't know. It was sometime recently. And narwhal horns have been hypothesized as one of the things that people sold and traded as unicorn horns.
Yeah, like basically the two main inroads to unicorns are rhinos and the narwhal.
But we're calling them narwhal horns. They're not exactly horns, are they?
Yeah. I'm doing a bit of a goof on y'all. They're actually tusks because they're a big old tooth that grows out of their forehead.
It's the best.
It's actually an oversized canine tooth. And what's interesting to me is when you think of a narwhal, kind of similar to how you picture a beaver with their pearly white teeth, the narwhal, you think of it as a symmetrical unicorn horn, like right down the center. Mm-hmm. It's actually off-center because it's usually the upper left canine tooth that is overgrown. So if you get a top view of a narwhal, you can see it actually lists a little bit to the left, typically. And they can grow up to an impressive 10 feet long. It's usually only on males. Only about 15% of females have a tusk. And then very, very rarely a narwhal can have two symmetrical tusks, but that's extremely uncommon. And what's really cool about this, the narwhal tusk, is it is kind of a scientific mystery, and there are a few theories on why it exists, and it has a super weird kind of, it's very odd anatomically, which we can... get into. So one of the most one of the theories is that it's just basically a mating, a sexual dimorphism, kind of mating display attribute. So it's this showy thing that maybe helps with mating, maybe helps male narwhals kind of face off, and that would make sense because females don't have it. But the weird part about that is that the tusk itself is very specialized. So a lot of researchers argue that the tusk is actually this big sensory organ because it contains millions of nerve endings, and it's actually composed not of hard enamel. It's not just this insensitive kind of, prong. It's composed of, like, the sensitive parts of the tooth. And so it's thought that maybe it's collecting information about the water. And there's even this theory that, like, when you see male narwhals rubbing their tusks together, that instead of fighting, they're sharing sensory information. So one of the proponents of this theory is Martin Nuwiela. He's a Harvard University marine dental expert. His research team thinks that this is sharing info about the tusks rubbing together is sharing info about the salinity and other characteristics of the water that they've traveled through. And so this is why they think this may be the case. So the narwhal tusk is very different from human and even other mammalian teeth. So I don't know, are you guys going to talk about the anatomical features of the human teeth on the show?
Probably not in today's episode, though I'm sure it's come up before. I mean, we know that teeth aren't the same as bones. They've got these different layers of different density and material.
Right. So just a quick refresher then. There's a hard outer layer of an animal and an inner layer of dentin. And then inside of that is the pulp, which contains nerve endings and blood vessels. And hopefully you don't really feel that too much. If you do, you might have a cavity.
Teeth are like pumpkins.
And then the root of the tooth is covered in cementum, which is this special calcified substance that contains these little teeny tiny canals that actually help root the teeth to the alveolar bone by connecting to what's called the periodontal ligament, which that's a bunch of words that I barely even know what they mean. So it's basically your teeth isn't just rooted in by sort of the main pointy roots. It doesn't just sit in the bed. It's attached by all these little tiny fibers that anchor the tooth to the surrounding tissue and to the surrounding bone. That's why it's not just easy to pop a tooth out. And that's a very sensitive part of the tooth, as you can imagine, because it's permeable. All these fibers can go through it. In narwhals, the entire outside of the tusk is covered in this permeable cementum. So like the stuff that's really basically only in the root of our teeth is the entire narwhal tusk. And instead of using those little channels, those little holes that are all throughout the cementum to anchor it, they actually, seawater traverses through it, through passages in the inner layer of dentin and into the pulp where it contacts nerve endings, which sounds very unpleasant. So it doesn't, it seems intuitively, it seems that there's got to be a reason for this, the fact that seawater can just get in touch with nerve endings, because otherwise that just seems very uncomfortable.
Right. Like, don't you want some holes in your teeth for the ice water to get in?
Right. Like, imagine if your tooth had a big old hole in it and then you dove into some super cold water. That would be not the best feeling. So one of the theories that this may be advantageous is that it could be used to detect salinity in the water. And the reason this is important is that high salt concentration can indicate that ice is forming, and narwhals don't want to get trapped in the ice. So if there's a real high salinity, they may know to leave that area because they don't want to get stuck in ice formations. But it's really important to note that the science on this has been far from settled. There's a lot of argument about that if this is an important sensory organ, then why isn't this present in female narwhals? That seems like kind of a big oversight. And the fact that a lot of times sexual dimorphism of features like a big tusk usually indicates that it's involved in mating displays. But I do think that there must be, it seems like there's likely some utility to the tusk. So I think it could be a kind of rare situation where maybe it was initially used in mating, and then some of the features of it, like these channels that allow salt water to flow into the nerves, could now have some utility that the narwhals use. So it's hard to say, and I'm really interested to see what researchers come up with in the future.
Huh. So kind of like maybe if like a stag's antlers gained the ability to sense a storm is coming or something.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, more with Katie Golden.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR. The Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
All right, we're back.
So I have a question, Katie. I have seen images all over the internet, often unlabeled and memeified, of a creepy-looking fish that has human teeth. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's a sheep's head fish, and they do have creepy-looking human-like teeth. It's one of those rare meme images that's actually not Photoshopped, because I've seen all sorts of Photoshop things of like, oh, look at this animal with their weird teeth. And it's just like, no, you just Photoshop some human teeth.
Oh, yeah, because there's some sort of a cephalopod image that is maybe not Photoshop, but just like the way that the specimen was arranged, it makes it look like it has human teeth.
Well, this tradition goes all the way back to like the tabloid newspapers of the 1990s. I remember when I was a kid, there was this thing that would be like a cat found with human teeth, and that'd be on the cover of the Weekly World News. And it's super creepy looking. Things that aren't human shouldn't have human teeth.
Or be able to smile.
Yeah.
Like, I always think about that. What if my cat could smile? It would be disturbing.
What would a cat have to think in order to smile? That wouldn't be a good thought.
But the sheep's head fish here is not smiling, to be clear, but does have these very human-like teeth. So, I mean, the obvious question is, well, what are they eating that requires these chompers?
This is a fish that lives on Snickers bars.
Yeah, it's not only got these human teeth, but it's got lots of them, just rows and rows of them. And it's, yeah, they're used to crush up the shells of their prey. So they eat oysters, clams, bivalves, crabs, other crustaceans, you know, so on and so forth. All those crunchy, delightful things you can eat in the ocean. So it just kind of puts it in there like it's going through a blender and crushes them up with their many, many human-like teeth.
Wow, I've got human-like teeth and I can't crush up oyster shells.
Well, do you have tons of teeth.
That's true.
How many teeth do you have?
If I just had more human teeth.
Not as many as these guys, I bet.
This is why I have to steal other people's teeth. I finally found a justification.
I think if you shoved a few rows of dentures in your mouth, you could crush an oyster.
Okay. I'll take that under advisement. So this is one of your honorable mentions, right? That wasn't a main pick for you, but the sheep's head fish?
Yeah, I just don't know as much about this fish, but I do. I think these are ones that I would highly encourage you guys to Google. Usually I say, don't Google this because it's disgusting, but these are really interesting. So Google sheep's head fish. Really cool. You see rows and rows of teeth. Another one to definitely Google image is the crab eater seal. And it's this adorable little, you know how seals are, they're just these little chunky balls of cuteness.
Blubbery water dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're little water boys with like little round bodies, and they're very cute. You know, they're found in Antarctica, and they are they are also known as they're called crab eater seals, but they often eat krill. So, but what's cool about these guys is if you look at their teeth, they're so trippy. They have these like whorls and spirals around, and it looks kind of like, almost like a, Fibonacci sequence of teeth. It's just like, or what are those called? Like a fractal.
Yeah.
Like
fractal patterns.
Fractal.
Yeah. They look like a psychedelic illustration or like a Mandelbrot set edge.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like as if took a tooth, like if you took a tooth and then just did the like swirl, what's it called? The swirl effect in Photoshop a bunch of times.
Yeah.
They look Photoshopped. It's like, but they're really cool.
Oh, it's also a Coke snowflake or a Koch snowflake, however you pronounce that.
Yeah, kind of. Or it's like if Alex Gray designed a seal skull.
I was almost going to say Alex Gray because I know that was where you were going to go.
Yeah, these are impressive. I'm looking at some of these images right now. These are amazing.
So why do they have these fractal teeth?
Well, they look really like they're designed to be these really nasty weapons to just like shred things apart. But I think what they're actually used for is to strain smaller prey items like krill out of the water column. So they can get like this big gulp of seawater with some krill, and then they sort of force the water out of their mouth, and the krill get all caught up in their janky teeth, and then they can eat them. Sort of like the way that whale baleen works.
So it's like a mammalian jaw spider strainer.
Yes. Yeah, like a colander. Teeth colanders.
Interesting.
And then you have one more on your honorable mention here. It's a shark, right?
Yeah. So this is a... This is an extinct species of some kind of shark-like fish. It lived in the early Permian era, like around 300 million years ago. And their scientific name is the Helicoprion. And they just have a very, very funny-looking mouth because it looks like someone shoved a buzzsaw on their on their lower jaw. I would definitely Google image this. It's also really funny to see the different, because we only have fossil records of this. We don't know exactly how this jaw works, like where it fits on the animal. So there's a lot of different interpretations and illustrations of how this shark was put together. There's an 1899 drawing where it just super funny. It looks like this nose. So they put it on the top of the shark where it's just this curly nose of teeth. But I think the more accepted kind of place to put this buzzsaw of teeth is on the lower jaw, on the outside. And it's just like rows and rows of many, many sharp teeth that look like some kind of freaky Tim Burton-esque monster.
Well, it appears that it sort of spirals out. So does it have like new rows of teeth that go down in, like it gets bigger as it goes along through the spiral?
Right. Yeah, I think, I'm not sure that they know exactly because obviously there's limited record of this shark, but I would guess it's similar to how modern sharks, how they can push out teeth. So when they lose teeth, they just have rows of teeth behind that they push out progressively.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how they solve their dental problems, is they just replace them with new teeth. So I would imagine that maybe this is a form of that where, you know, it's kind of like a, you know, what's that, like that bubble gum that came in those big coils?
Bubble tape?
Yeah, bubble tape. Where you just keep, or like a Pez dispenser, where you just keep on, you're able to keep pushing out new teeth. I don't know, though. It's hard to say because this is a very weird fossil record.
I mean, in all of the illustrations I find of it, it's not represented in a way that looks like it could actually bite. So, I'm tempted to think that we have not figured out where the correct anatomical orientation of this yet.
Yeah, or exactly how it was just utilized.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's we don't know. I mean, I certainly don't know why this would be good. Like, because if you can imagine just having a buzzsaw of teeth in your lower jaw, how hard that would be to chew things,
mm-hmm.
doesn't seem optimal. And maybe that's why they're dead. there is the proposal of like how this may have worked is that there was like no teeth in the top jaw except the like some crushing teeth. So it was like a mortar and pestle kind of design.
Oh.
So like the bottom thing could crush things up with this like buzzsaw of teeth, and then the top part of the jaw would be like the mortar, and the bottom part would be the pestle, and just like grind prey up. But it just doesn't look like it worked that good.
It's kind of like a guillotine mouth, like it's got a circular
yeah.
guillotine blade, and it goes into the like catcher, which is the upper jaw.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it looks like a child's idea of a scary monster. So when you're thinking, oh, well, you just put a buzzsaw in its mouth and it looks super awesome and cool. But then when you think about it, there's probably a reason that this shark did not win out in the evolutionary arms race.
Yeah, it lost to the recently evolved chainsaw whale.
Well, it reminds me, remember BattleBots, the TV show?
Oh, yeah.
With the little fighting robots.
Where it was always counterintuitive. Like a lot of the ones that seemed like they had the best weapons did not always win.
Exactly. So you have one with big chainsaw on it. You're like, oh, this one's going to just wreck. And then some little wedge-shaped one
uh-huh.
knocks it over and wins.
Yeah, the little flippers. Like they were the ones that excelled.
Yeah, it was always the wedges. Like our like our friend the beaver. That wedge shape is just so good.
Yeah, hard to beat an inclined plane.
Nope.
All right, well, I think that about brings us to the end where we need to wrap up today. But before we do that, first of all, if you are not subscribed to Creature Feature yet, subscribe to Creature Feature right now. Subscribe
do
to
it.
Creature Feature right now. Right now. Katie, entice them. What is coming up on Creature Feature? What will have aired recently when this comes out?
Yeah, so the episode that's out right now, as of this recording, is one on tool use. My guest is Carmen Angelica. She's a delight, and it's really fun because we talk about tools of the trade, tools of torture, and tools of love. So it's kind of runs the gamut in terms of what can be used as a tool, and there's some surprising twists and turns there. The one I'm recording for next week is going to be on animals that you don't think you should be afraid of, look pretty innocent and harmless, but are really actually extremely deadly. I'll probably also be correcting the record on The Lion King.
Wait a minute. Animals that you don't think you should be afraid of, but you should,
yeah.
are geese on the list. Is it geese?
Yeah. Geese is the whole thing. that's the only thing I'm talking about on that episode.
Well, they at least deserve a nod. Those things are scary.
Yeah. Speaking, have you seen like the geese that have teeth?
No, I don't think so.
They're not really teeth. They're just a serrated beak, but boy, do they look unpleasant.
Yeah, a serrated beak sounds very unpleasant.
Okay, well, thanks so much for joining us today, Katie. It's been so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me again.
Anytime. Oh, and one last time, where can people find Creature Feature?
Yeah, so you can find us on our website, creaturefeaturepod.com. We're on Twitter, Creature Feet Pod, and on Instagram, Creature Feature Pod. And of course, we're on Apple iTunes, we're on the iHeartRadio app, or pretty much anywhere you get your podcasts.
Anywhere, folks. There's no excuse.
No excuse.
All right. Well, thanks so much. And we'll maybe we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, hope so.
All right. And if you want to check out more Stuff to Blow Your Mind, we have a website, stufftoblowyourmind.com. You can go there. And if you want to support our show, the best thing you can do is make sure you have subscribed to us. Subscribe to our other show, Invention, as well. And wherever you have the power to do so, just leave us a nice review. Leave us a nice assortment of stars. That helps out the show in the long run.
Huge thanks, as always, to our excellent audio producer, Maya Cole. If you would like to get in touch with us with feedback on this episode or any other, to suggest a topic for the future, or just to say hello, you can email us at contact@stufftoblowyourmind.com.
Stuff to Blow Your Mind is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.